CliffCentral.com.
That's Travis and Flowers in the Window.
Friday.
Yes. Good day. Do love a Friday.
Sounds like the opening theme song of a 90s TV series.
Yeah, it
today.
Is. It's kind of beautiful. I'm sure they did use it for the theme song for a 90s TV show.
Those 90s TV shows, they really put so much effort into their theme tunes.
Nowadays,
it's like. Nowadays, if you get some backbeat side trance, you're lucky.
It's not the same. It really isn't the same.
No, the thing is, like, people are impatient, right? The moment they put a TV show on, they want to get to the first scene. Yeah. Whereas the 90s, you would sit down, you relax, and you get into the vibe. And
oh, here comes Kirk Cameron again with another episode of Growing Pains.
When last did you even watch an opening, like, sequence?
Nobody watches.
Because Netflix, you can even, like, just
skip through it.
Yeah.
Although I always watch the Rick and Morty opening sequence. It's just, it's just so bizarre.
Yeah, it is so weird.
I've
got onto season 4 now. I started yesterday, so I'm going to make my way through it.
How many episodes do you watch?
Just one.
The first one. Everyone's a...
Yeah. So good.
You know something is really funny when at the mere thought or mention of it,
I can't even create a sentence about what I was going to say. It's just so bizarre.
Well, don't spoil it for anyone who hasn't yet, because I know that people take their time with these things. Hey, important update. We mentioned that the Love Island, the British TV show Love Island, is filming in Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
And Tamarin has just sent me a message to say the crew on Love Island have the shits. Apparently the villa had to be quarantined.
What is with these English people coming here? Because the English cricket team had the shits and all kinds of things when they got here. I've been to 4 different provinces in the last month, and I haven't had anything that, close to a loose stool.
Yeah, I think it's just very weak stomachs.
Yeah.
And I mean, really, you know, in London you can get some pretty harsh curries. I'm surprised that these English people have such weak constitutions.
There's a horrible reflection on SA right now, because as much as we do have shithole elements, we're not a dirty country.
No,
yeah, this is not what
nice places.
It's not what we need said about us right now.
No, thank you. We'd like some good publicity for a change. And if they are going to film in beautiful Cape Town right now, let it not be marred, their enjoyment of Cape Town, by the shits.
Oh.
A horrible thing to happen, really.
The shits is so horrible.
Oh, it's so undignified.
Great for weight loss, though.
Just pouring water, it's so horrible.
Okay, visuals were...
splattering the bowl.
Alrighty.
Speaking of which, I thought it was funny the other day when Gord was here and he came back from the toilets and everyone instantly thought he'd damaged the Dalton. Everyone just thought he'd got in there and done a job on it again.
He gets so embarrassed.
Wow.
So embarrassed.
The Love Island house in Cape Town is really impressive.
It's beautiful.
It's valued at five...
toilets, apparently.
It's valued at £5.3 million.
Sure.
So supposedly, like, because people are so excited about the series being filmed here, that security isn't taking any chances. They're trying to keep the location very secret. Meanwhile, you can Google the images. Yeah. But there's a nightclub that's around the house, and there was a recent shooting there. So now they've amped up security as well, because they don't want anything to happen to the cast. But okay.
Wow, let's all wish and hope and aspire to one day live in a house that's worth, what, £5 million?
£5.3 million,
sure.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
The shooting at the club was linked to the Sexy Boys. Yeah, you don't play around with the Sexy Boys.
What?
The Sexy Boys gang.
Yes.
Wait a second, there was a club near the house.
Mm.
Isn't the house in Constantia?
Yeah.
According
to this article.
I think you're mixing up your Cape Town suburbs here.
Extreme security measures owner Timothy Lotter was murdered in one of the world's most dangerous cities on Sunday.
Yeah, but I mean, Cape Town's big, so it's in a shit part of Cape Town.
I don't know.
Yeah, but also because of the gang warfare that's happening, some of these gangsters actually have houses in the nice areas.
Mm. Still a gorgeous house, though.
Yeah. Sure. Got to keep the gangsters out of good neighborhoods. Really. You know, there's some things that, like, you should have to be vetted for certain, and no matter how much money you have. There should be certain places you can't get into.
Well, how do you vet class?
You can't. That's the problem. If we could figure that out, if there was a standard formula, well, the world would be much better.
Chumley versus Chumundley.
Exactly.
That's
anyway,
the one way.
Yeah, maybe that's the way. You just ask people to pronounce Chumley. All right, so there was nothing in your five things this morning. If you don't have real news, just shut up and get on with the show. What a total waste.
Well, there's it's a no-politics Friday.
There's some critical feedback from Bihleng. Bihleng, I think it's time for you to move on to another podcast. I'm really tired of babysitting you. So go and find something else to listen to. Thank you.
Personally, I thought there was interesting stuff in there.
Well, thanks, Ben. Makes me feel a little bit better.
I also think so.
No, thanks, Sia. You make me feel a little bit better.
Sure. Huh. This is what we're here for.
All right, guys, listen to this. This is from Woody. He says, hey, guys, in the week, this girl approached me and greeted me all friendly, and I didn't know her, so she asked if I remember her. I immediately did what you guys spoke about and asked her, why did we have sex? And she had a very shocked look on her face and replied, yes, 2 years ago. I then said, no, are you sure? She said, yes, and asked if I'm another name. I started laughing because that was actually my twin brother's name. Her face turned blood red from embarrassment, and she couldn't stop apologizing. So that's a fun interaction, if you can handle awkwardness. So she slept with Woody's twin brother, and she thought it was Woody.
That's actually a lovely story.
And I mean, how interesting that he listened to us, decided he was going to ask that question, why have we had sex, and then look what happened.
Thanks for taking our advice.
Well, look, it worked, right?
Because yeah, true.
Completely worked.
Her whole thing was to embarrass him by saying, don't you remember me? And then he turned it on her and was, you know, ended up being to his advantage. So there's something fun for the day. This is interesting. Carl says, Rick and Morty was great, but I'm really disappointed it was only 5 episodes. I believe that the producers passed away.
Oh, wow.
So we're not going to get any more.
But also, that season in particular is at such a high speed. I think if they made more episodes, the writers would have exploded. Their heads would have actually exploded.
Mm.
There's so much going on
there. That's such messed up stuff. You've got to be totally high all the time when you write.
There's no way they wrote those scripts on chamomile tea.
Not a chance. Oh, and here's some useful info. This is from Marcus. Marcus says the shooting was at La Parada, remember? That's up in the...
Yes,
in
okay, so that's Constantia.
Right, and then the head of the Americans lives in Price Drive.
Which is essentially what joins up that to the circle as you go out of there and drive towards. Yeah.
Good morning, guys. Ben, it's really sad about Mubs because she once told him to fuck off from Senzo in Pretoria.
Senzo, I could not care about what she thinks about me. I was just talking on behalf of the team.
Okay. Vicious tummy bug was going around Cape Town, not the food.
And well, between that and the people in Witten just dropping left, right, and center.
From that mysterious substance, the poison. Here's something interesting from Morgan. Morgan says, the news was meh, but still more interesting than Ben's love life. Unless he's keeping the juice from us, assuming by his weekends off for golf comment that he's living like an aged widower.
You know what? Why does everyone analyze everything so much?
Sure, do you want to take it back and come back a bit harder?
Yo. I have nothing to say there.
Didn't realize I was here for my love life.
Ben, over to you.
Some people only care about that, Ben. That's what they come for.
Oh, gosh.
Vinny saying, hey, guys, I think South Africans actually have pretty strong stomachs. I mean, we can drink hot tar and nothing will happen. But a place you should not be eating just anything is Bali. My first day there, I shat for 3 long days. My asshole was raw and falling out. Gosh. Fuck that place.
Raw asshole, because if you want to go swim in the sea, that salt will take your raw asshole to pieces. It shows no mercy.
Just turn it into biltong.
All you want to do is just relax and that salt gets, speaking of which, if you've got the shits, don't you dare go into the Dead Sea. That is a ruthless place.
Pichling saying, Tsek, I'm not going anywhere. I'm like the ANC of the audience. If you're a shit, I will tell you. The ANC, no, the ANC is shit. It doesn't tell other people they're shit. It is in no position to criticize other people. In fact, there's a great article by Ivo Fechter, who's been a regular on the show for the Burning Platform, where he basically says, the greatest liability to the country in 2020 is the ANC.
Sure. As they were in 2019 and 2018 and 2021, 2022.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
They're really clinching to that title.
Yeah, but it's
Prince Mashele's article, not Ivo Fechter's. Sorry.
But Gareth, as we know, like all cancers, unless you remove it, it spreads and then things become terminal. And unfortunately, we're, I think, in stage 4 ANC at the moment.
We said no politics Friday, but that came up because of Mpitleng, so we're going to blame him. Okay, just quickly, while we're on to things that are of national and international importance, interesting story I saw on Facebook. Before Christmas, there was a story in the news about the taxi industry, estimated to generate profits of 90 billion rand a year, and that there are more than 200,000 minibuses in South Africa. Wow. That's a hell of an industry. The report described how taxi drivers, after paying their petrol per diems, traffic fines and other running costs, have to hand over 500 rand cash each day in unmarked brown envelopes to the taxi owners, who are members of the National Taxi Alliance. The report further emphasized there's no salary slip system, which tells me the owners, in all probability, do not maintain any form of accounting records, which would enable SARS to register them as employers and taxpayers. Now, if we assume those figures are correct, taxi owners earn on average, five minibuses each, then there must be at least 40,000 owners countrywide sharing that 90 billion in profit, which translates to an annual net income of 2.25 million per owner per year. It's a lot of money. The question to SARS is, what are you doing about bringing these people into the tax net so that this huge loss to the fiscus can be collected? If SARS took the initiative to track down the tax evaders, it would be fairer to the small percentage of honest taxpaying citizens who bear the burden of financing the running of South Africa. Isn't that an interesting point of view?
Yeah, but they've always been like the biggest gangsters in this country, though.
And they're a law unto themselves.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But it's just an interesting point of view. So if each taxi owner owns, on average, five or six taxis, they're making 2.25 million rand a year. Pure profit, not paying any tax on that. That would put them in the top 0.5% of all of South Africa. It's incredible. I love Sia. He reminds me of my close man friend who always tells me about things with the gays who he has had sex with. Well, there we go. That's interesting. That's from
the gays he's had sex with.
Yeah, the gays. I like when people say that. So, have you spoken to the gays? This Prince Mashele article, if you want to look for it, is in the Sowetan Live this morning. It's very, very good. Basically, he starts off, and I'll just read the opening paragraph to give you an idea. Last week, the World Bank revised South Africa's annual economic growth forecast downward to 0.9%, citing load shedding as the chief factor behind its dismal prognosis. That is the pessimistic tone of the new year. The World Bank made its announcement 2 days before the ANC celebrated its 108th anniversary in the poor, godforsaken town of Kimberley. I've never been to Kimberley. Is it really that bad?
Generally, yeah. Look, there's a nice part of Kimberley, which obviously from the mining days, from the diamond days, and there's some beautiful houses. There's some really cool things. Like, Kimberley's a nice night over stay. Stay in some nice guest houses. The whole place where the big hole is, they've really done a good job there in making it like a tourist attraction. Otherwise, no. It's like going to Velcom.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I've been to Velcom. That is a toilet.
It is. It's a toilet with traffic circles.
Sweet Jesus. That's particularly horrific. All right, let's get into some stories. First of all, would you like to hear Michael Caine reading Rudyard Kipling's If?
Always.
This is inspiring for a Friday. You need to hear this. It's a poem that I was forced to learn verbatim, and I'm so glad I was, by my primary school teacher in the final year of primary school, and I've never forgotten it. I can still recite it word for word, but here's Michael Caine doing a much better job than I ever could. Take it away, Sir Michael Caine. Right, he's not just Michael Caine. Anytime you're ready.
If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowances for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor look too wise.
Talk.
If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim.
I keep thinking he's going to pause at some point and go, I bloody well said that I did. Michael Caine. All right, let's go to Ngobile, who's on Skype. Hey, Ngobile, what's up? Jesus, what's going on with your phone? Are you calling from Zim again?
How did you know?
Yeah, because your phone line's great, like everything in that country.
Well, no, man. When you just brought up Michael Caine, my only favorite role from Michael Caine is as Nigel Powers. He was the best. That was the best role he ever played.
Pretty much.
I love the guy's voice. He's awesome. And he's got a great sense of humor. He told a very, very funny story on, I think, Parkinson once that I'll try and remember. But go ahead. What did you call in for?
No, I just wanted to just say this year, as they say, this is going to change, right? Everything is going to be different, mm-hmm. but not really, because we people are sheeple, and we basically say things and we never really do. Like, I've seen people saying, this year I'm really going to make things happen, and already 3 days in, they're like, oh, next year is going to be the best year ever. Obviously showing that, yeah, they ate that Krispy Kreme instead of going to gym.
So how do you start the year? Do you just start like miserable and negative and you're like, it's going to be the same? And then at least you're not going to be surprised by anything bad happening?
Well, kind of, almost. But I just take that whole thing of if you want to change, just change when you have to change.
Yeah,
so don't
wait
if you have
for
to
the...
change in the middle of June,
right?
Change in the middle of June.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Don't wait for the year.
Yeah, you're very pragmatic. Yeah, you're like Ben. You don't get caught up in the calendar.
Oh, no, no. Because, for instance, we don't know which actual day of the year we really are in. We're assuming it's Tuesday. It's Friday, the 17th of January. But all we know, it could be 30/25.
It could be. It could be Fromsday, the 39th of Augsember.
Exactly. But one more thing I just wanted to say to you guys is, why is it we people, I'm just saying in general, mm-hmm. we like to repeat the same mistakes over and over, and then we don't like to take responsibility for it, and then we blame everybody else, including the kitchen sink.
Ah, no.
So what I've noticed is, sorry, you were saying?
No, if you could solve this for us, you're going to make a major leap forward for humanity, so I'm all ears.
No. Oh, please, I'm not smart at all. I'm just another dumb guy around asking questions.
Go on.
Because that's the only thing I ask people. So I ask us, for example, I'll bring this up. So you see the whole ESCOM problem, stage 8, whatever.
Yeah.
I've noticed a couple of friends of mine. I have friends who are diehard ANC. I have maybe two friends who still like me, who are supporting EFF. And then a couple that, you know, DA, whatever, different political people.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked them, guys, we've had the same problems with the same politicians since 1994, basically. And there's no real progress or change. Why do you guys still support them? And then they just justified, but I'm like, but guys, we basically, you know, things are going, you know, apeshit. So why can't you just progress and just go, forget politicians, how about we do things ourselves? And really can, you know, be more action rather than say, hey, let the politicians fix it, and let's blame everybody else, including politicians, but we as the voter, we don't blame ourselves for making stupid decisions.
Well, I think a lot of people are just infantilized. Like, they're never really set out into the world and made responsible for themselves. And you have that opportunity every single day. You can make yourself responsible. You can go out and do things that are productive and that add value to society and that people are willing to pay you something for usually. And then it's amazing how little government actually matters to you. You know, we've got a country where our government is proud of the fact. They actually said at the ANC birthday the other day, we're proud of having 17 million people on welfare.
Mm.
And I know we said no politics Friday, but, you know, we've got to go down this road. I'm not going to ignore Mobile's call. But the fact is, that's not something to be proud of. Like 17 million people who are not useful, who are not adding value, who are just taking from the system. You know how many personal income taxpayers there are in the country? It's something like 3 million people now.
So it's a very small percentage. You're right. Right. So, I read this that.
So 3 million people are essentially keeping 17 million people fed, clothed, and sheltered. Now, that is outrageous because it's not sustainable. And if you leverage those 3 million people too much, which has been happening over the last couple of weeks, months, and years, people just leave. They go somewhere else. They take their money somewhere else. They take their productivity somewhere else. It doesn't leave more for the rest of us. It leaves less.
I'm going to Australia, Gareth. I'm going to Australia.
Yeah, I mean,
but I do want to go for
the We mock those people. If we're all sitting on our asses and we have no electricity and we have a completely failed state on our hands, we're going to be looking at those people who said, I'm going to Australia, and we won't be mocking them because they might have been right.
Yeah.
You know? Then how embarrassed will we be then?
The reason I put that part is I didn't want to speak specifically politics. I just wanted to look at ourselves. Like, it's more of a critique of thyself. Or we always say, you know, for example, a guy approaches a couple of women, gets rejected, And then you say, it's because I'm ugly, it's because I'm fat, it's because I don't earn enough, it's because, you know, life is unfair and I don't have great genes. And then that kind of guy, for example, I go, my guy, have you actually taken responsibility of blaming perhaps yourself first and go, what have I done to improve my situation in order for me to be more attractive to a lady?
But,
most of the time, guys don't picture that.
You're expecting a lot from some people who really just can't even get out of bed in the mornings. I mean, like, let's take baby steps here. You are different to the average person. You sound like my dad, who always complains, oh, people just don't understand. People are so cuck. People are so stupid. I said to him, you just think they all think like you do, and they don't.
No, I agree. But what I'm saying is, the reason I bring that up is, I used to think like the majority of people. I used to be a lazy punk, whereby I blamed everything except myself, until basically an epiphany, personal epiphany happened. Then I realized,
how did that happen? I'm interested. Right. How did that happen? What was that personal epiphany?
You see, for me, it took a couple of tragedies in order for it to happen. So, for example, I was still in matric. I just finished matric. So we were waiting for the matric results, and the matric results came out, and then boom, I'm like, oh, great, I'm finally going to varsity. And then my parents tell me, hey, guy, we don't have money. Sorry, not my parents. My mother told me, hey, we don't have money to send you to varsity. So I'm like, okay, then I'll apply for NASFAS. NASFAS was like, no, we're not going to give you any funding because your parents technically work. So we were like, okay, so what should I do? Get a loan? My parents are like, we can't afford a loan. Hmm. So my brother, you're not going to varsity. You have to do stuff yourself. So that was the first time. And then the second period was when my mother had a mental breakdown, and then she completely lost it. And that's when I realized, you know what, you can't blame, I'm forced to take full responsibility for my life now, because I don't have my mother to protect me, to shun me and say, oh, boo-boo, it's okay, here's a participation trophy. I didn't have that anymore. And the brutal nature of life basically made me aware that, look, I have to take responsibility. And it's not to say that my father wasn't around. My father was there. He was just a cold person who was like, bro, do you know I grew up in apartheid South Africa? I had to work for my stuff. So he was that type of man. But right. His approach was terrible. So I kind of rejected him in that way. But over the years, that's when I finally realized, nah, my father was right. His approach was poor, though, but I need to take responsibility. And from then on, that's when I took initiative to basically seek out knowledge. For example, for me to finally work at a very good corporation and not have a degree, a fancy degree to show for it, it proves that I actually went out and seeked out knowledge, worked with the people that needed to be, made the connection that I need to make in order to basically reach my goals. And setting goals and having the mindset, you're right, Gary, by saying it's not easy to get there, but the first step that I realize is you have to acknowledge your role in your own failure. And most people that I've spoken to who always ask me, hey, dude, how did you do this or how did you do that? I always say to them, let's first take stock of you. What have you contributed to your failure?
Now, dude, I'm glad you actually said that. But I do have some criticism for you from Marcus, who's just messaged us to say, callers like Nobile should please honor No Politics Friday. So there's a lot of people trolling you.
My apologies. No. Right,
thank you.
Is this politics or is this just more of a motivation?
I don't want to do politics. It definitely started as politics. I'm not going to let you off the hook.
Yes. No, I agree. I agree.
Right, dude, thanks very much.
I just wanted to share with you guys as for 2020, for thank people you. Who are still believing in the 1st of Jan and all that, is that let's take stock of what I believe now is I don't care about the government anymore. I really don't care about politics or whatever or anything else out of society. All I care about is like what DJ Smoo does, being more motivational in the sense of...
All right, Sean's saying, I'm going to play this call tonight when I can't sleep. All right, thanks. Mobile, thanks so much,
thanks,
man.
Guys.
All right.
He's a good guy, though. Sure. He makes videos on YouTube as well. He's a good guy.
Oh, really? You met him?
No, I haven't met him.
Oh, but you've seen his stuff.
Hey, he calls in quite a lot.
No, I know him from the show, but I mean, you've seen him on YouTube as well. Mm. All right. What else is going on, Ben?
OJ. The story that never ends, right? Like, there's certain things in life. There's Bill Cosby. There's Jeff Epstein. Then there's OJ. It's like this circle of people. So his former manager, Norman Pardo. You heard about this guy?
No.
He says, and he is willing to auction off 70 hours of unwatched footage of the juice. And he says he can claim, well, he's claiming that he can prove there was an accomplice to the murder of Nicole Brown what? And Ron Goldman.
So where was he all those years ago?
Isn't well, obviously he had a fallout with OJ, right? But 70 hours of never before seen videos of him?
Jesus.
This is going to uncover something hectic. And then I found this new documentary called Who Killed Nicole?
Yeah.
Have you heard about this?
No. Well, I mean, I remember the story when it happened.
The story was done, right?
Right.
There was the whole HBO series.
If the gloves does not fit, you must acquit. And then, of course, there was after that where the Goldman family actually sued him.
Yeah, that's and the he ended case,
up
wasn't it?
Having, yeah, that's right. And he ended up having to pay. And then he went to jail for the stealing of his own memorabilia back from someone.
And then he masturbated in prison. So that's they right. said they were going to get rid of his parole.
That's right. So many things.
But you can imagine what has been uncovered in 70 hours. I mean, obviously, a lot of locker room talk. So, at the very least, he'll be labeled as a sexist.
Yeah.
But this dude believes there's something about this. So now, look, this isn't a very good trailer about this show, Who Killed Nicole. But, I mean, it's a new sort of... There's a breath of fresh air into this whole OJ thing. Because we all know it's a little bit dodgy, right?
Well, everything to do with OJ is a little bit dodgy.
And his behavior since he's come out of prison, like, he's just an odd guy.
It's very strange.
But can you imagine, like, he wakes up after he knocks him off in the morning and he reads this headline of 70 hours of him could be in the public eye. That's enough to really give you...
I always thought it was really funny that OJ was never that interested in finding the real killer.
Also a good point.
You know,
it's like, oh, well, it
if
happened.
You are the, if your wife is murdered, stabbed to death, and her what is it, lover?
Yeah.
What is it, Ron Goldman?
Yeah.
If your wife is stabbed to death, and you say it's not you, and you've been framed, and then you get let off, I would spend every waking hour trying to find the person who actually had done that.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you?
Well, it would be the first thing you would do.
Be consuming
if nothing
me.
Else but to clear your name, show some interest in finding this person.
Well, also because you don't want to be sleeping in your bed one night and the same person comes to get you.
Yeah.
Maybe they just don't like the Simpsons.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, so this whole new documentary has been released called Who Killed Nicole. Apparently is very controversial and very interesting. But now this Pardo believes that his 70 hours of never seen before footage,
mm-hmm.
this is what can really like bring it home for OJ.
Sure.
But can you imagine how much money this guy could potentially be on? Because all these big networks would want that.
Huge money. It's amazing.
They would definitely want that.
All right, then Jamie wants to know, where are all the girls today? Well, Leanne is sick.
I don't know where he's gone.
I'm listening to the show tonight. Stayed up on the east coast of America to hear all your silly voices. Happy weekend.
Do we have silly voices?
Silly voices.
I thought we had normal voices.
No. Clearly not.
Speaking about some more sort of happier things for your Friday.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of the Museum of Human Kindness?
No. It sounds very boring.
No, it's an actual thing.
Yeah?
Well, geez, Gareth, I didn't mean to. Here I'm trying to have a nice story after all these things of politics and people killing their wives. Apologies for bringing up the Museum of Human Kindness.
Just sounds a bit lame.
Well, okay.
Kind of place your mother would take you to when you're four.
So basically, people can donate stories. And what this thing is, your story donation tells of a time of human kindness. It was unexpected or just came into your life.
Okay.
And the museum is basically all these examples of
is
how people...
run by Brent Lindekew?
I don't know. I don't think so. It's in England. But it just goes to show that not all humans are shitheads.
I think that's a cool thing. That is a good thing. I think that's very necessary.
Because if you go to, like, Natural History Museum, you'll see a lot of shitheads. You'll see a lot of amazing things about time that's gone by, sure. But this is all about people who actually aren't complete dickheads.
Well, yes. And, you know, we've got the skewed idea of how the world works, and a lot of people wake up every morning imagining that everybody else in the world is bad and that they just want to take them out. And that's not the truth.
No, and also what this thing is about is inspiring people to be nicer. That's another thing that the person, the curator of the museum, basically put together.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not just about getting like people to come and spend money. And through the project, the founders want to help people tap into the emotional world of others and make their own decisions about being kind. As in, like, it's the easy thing to do, right? Being kind.
It really is.
It's so simple.
It doesn't have to cost you anything. It's pretty simple. I do have something funny for you. How do you clean a mattress? And how often should it be done?
With a fire.
Yeah.
Depends where this mattress is.
You throw an old mattress onto a fire and that's how you clean it. No, this is important. Are there aspects of your bed that need scrubbing? We wash our sheets and pillows, but should we be cleaning our mattress?
Sure, especially in summer when we sweat.
So they've spoken to someone who's a molecular toxicologist called Ria Mehta. That's a good name for a toxicologist.
Not to be messed with. It's a very serious name, that. No.
We should consider cleaning our mattress, especially if we don't use a mattress cover or pad for further protection.
Oh, but you really should as well, though.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't just lie straight onto the mattress.
First step, get a mattress protector.
Why, you ask? Well, cleaning helps remove dust, dirt, dead skin, pests, stains. With the amount of time we spend in bed, it's a no-brainer to be sure we're keeping that space as clean as the rest of our homes. The good news is it's not too complicated. So you only need to do it twice a year. I bet you haven't done it for five. Come on. Honestly, you haven't done it for five. There are two types of mattress cleaning you can consider. The first is easy. For a quick cleaning job, you can start by vacuuming your mattress thoroughly using the upholstery attachment if you have it. Right? If your mattress is a newer foam-topped model, it's best if people use a soft brush attachment. If their vacuum doesn't have it, then you can attach something else. Some upholstery attachments have those little bristles, you know the ones I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Second technique is for those twice-yearly cleans, and those are a bit more in-depth. For a deeper cleaning, which includes removing odors, you can use baking soda. Mm. Baking soda. I got baking soda. So you can use that, sprinkle it anywhere from half a cup to the entire box over your mattress. You can either let it sit for a few hours or overnight and then vacuum it. But you can't let it go overnight. Where are you going to sleep?
No, you think this through, obviously. Stay at your partner's place.
Okay, good. Okay, I like that. So you just put this baking soda over and then you let it stay for as long as possible. Then you vacuum it up. Beyond that, we'd be remiss not to mention the importance of rotating your mattress every 2 weeks or so. Every 2 weeks or so? Now, that sounds a bit ridiculous.
Or excessive.
You have to rotate your mattress every 2 weeks. Jesus. It's a lot of work.
Doesn't it also depend on the mattress you buy, though?
I think so. I mean, some of them you have to. I bought this beautiful mattress last year. It is the best thing I've ever done. Sleep properly. Got the, and it feels hard when you first lie down on it, and then it softens under you. Mm. You know, those memory foam type things. Damn, it's good. So anyway, that's another thing to clean in your home, but it's something worth thinking about, your mattress.
Yeah, well,
it's you don't think about it.
It's a daily contact point.
And it's filthy sometimes.
And people share their bed sometimes with their animals as well.
And with other filthy people.
And other filthy, even worse, people they bring home from nightclubs. That's where the filth really gets in.
All right, I've got that trailer which Ben told us about from O.J. Simpson. The film that he doesn't want you to see. We'll get to that in a second.
Can I just ask, where is everyone else gone? Like, where is Sia?
Sia's trying to line up someone on the phone. Is he? He's been trying to get hold of her for a while.
I just thought he was taking a break.
I know that this is something you're interested in, Ben, so let's go straight to her. Yvette Haysamer is on the line. You know about this call for the banning of Big Bang fireworks?
Oh, please, can it happen?
Okay. Last year, Rescue Rehab South Africa, that was established to support, uplift and upskill animal welfare and rescue organizations, was one of the main organizations that put together a proposal for a motion to ban fireworks nationally to Parliament. Since then, they've been supported by political parties and even religious groups. Now, Yvette Haysamer is proud of the headway that's being made with us. She joins us on Skype from Cape Town. Hey, Yvette, how are you?
Hey, Gos. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. No, it's nice to talk to you. It's the first time that animal welfare, a request for a ban, has actually reached Parliament, right?
I have to say it's thanks to Mr. Michael Bagram, who is in the National Assembly, Gareth.
Yeah.
He is the gentleman I called in September 2018 and said, do you think you can help me? And he said, yes.
All right. So tell me what the submission is.
Okay, it was firstly a submission in September 2018. It was presented in Parliament. It was then rejected because I had 1 weekend to put together a 54-page proposal. And in that, I did not have time to consult the Hindu community.
Yeah.
We then, after the rejection, consulted the Hindu community, who then agreed to the big ban. And since then, a meeting took place, and we've been holding on, waiting for the DA caucus to present it to Parliament.
So you've basically got buy-in from everybody here.
Well, I spoke to Michael the other day on the phone, Gareth, and he said to me he feels that South Africa is going to be the first country to ban big bangs. and he feels we can do it. He's been talking to a lot of the political parties, and he feels that he has their buy-in. So we are giving a great last push just to get the public and corporates involved to say, come on, let's do it. It's a global trend. The ban is a growing call. It's a global trend. And I think it would be first class if South Africa, was the first to do it.
You know, I'm torn. I've got to tell you quite honestly, I'm exactly 50-50 on this. I mean, I love animals as much as anybody, and I have a little dog, and like any animals, they don't like it when there are fireworks. My sister's dog went crazy at New Year, and she was, in a complete state, and I'm sure that that's a reason for a lot of people to take to be distressed themselves. And I think fireworks in crowded urban environments are also dangerous to humans, not just to animals. And it's probably a good idea to ban them in those environments. But I'm always nervous when you give government the power to ban something, because governments all over the world are shit at executing those bans, and it gives them more control and more power over the rest of us, which I'm always nervous about, frankly. People need to be more responsible, and government is not always the best vehicle for making sure that people are responsible. Do you agree with me that there's some points on both sides of the argument?
You know, Gareth, I wasn't too perturbed about fireworks until I started doing my research. And in my research, I found that child labor is involved in the manufacturing of fireworks in three countries that I can really say have got high stats. There's a place called Sivakasi in India.
Yeah.
And the reason why they use the child labor is that they need little hands to put the fuses into the fireworks.
Well, that's gainful employment in my book. I don't have a problem with that.
And on top of that, we've got to have a look at the fact that, I mean, China has banned fireworks in 850 of its cities. India, the Supreme Court ruled a ban, I think, in 2017 because of the pollution from the fallout. So when I say, you say it's a good thing to ban or a bad thing to ban, I think we can find a very healthy alternative to fireworks and gunpowder. The toxic fallout, there's no pros that I can see, Gareth, honestly.
Sure. I mean, let's just leave child labor aside, because I don't have a problem with that. But the problem I do have, I mean, I don't want to breathe in that horrible smoke. I know that they put some dangerous chemicals into fireworks to give them their colors. Some of these chemicals can be very toxic, and they do leave pollutants in the air. So that's a good reason to do it. What I'm saying is, when you give government the power and authority to ban something, they very seldom give it back to you. And the more you surrender your own autonomy. I mean, if I want to go and buy, let's say I want to put on a massive fireworks display in the middle of nowhere out in some farm that I own that no other person in South Africa is involved in. I should be allowed to do that. And I don't see how that anyone else has the right to come onto my property and tell me not to do something like that there. In an urban environment, obviously it's different. You have to take other people into consideration. And I just don't like the fact that some policeman's going to pitch up and say to me, oh, no, you can't have a Catherine wheel on Guy Fawkes Day because, someone in Cape Town has decided this is against the law. Do you know what I mean?
But Gareth, I mean, who cares about Guy Fawkes? That was some English guy who had an issue with government there far, far away. It's got no significance to South Africa whatsoever. You know, you can have your rural place and do your thing, so in built-up areas,
if I'm a Hindu and I celebrate Diwali with fireworks, you see, this is where it gets complicated.
But then, okay, you're so right, but then there should be designated things that happen around that. You want to bring people together and have the best time, rather than fragmenting them doing their own thing?
Can I just clarify?
With the Hindu community, we met with the Hindu Mahasabha, Mr. Ashwin Trikamji, and he agreed to ban what they call big bangs. We're talking about these massive pyrotechnic displays, and we're talking about the flashbangs. We are not looking at banning sparklers, Catherine wheels,
smaller consumer.
Yes. We cannot take that away. But we're talking about these these massive. It's explosive. It is shocking. We can find an alternative, Gareth. Really, there are beautiful alternatives.
Well, Yvette, you know what? I've got to say to you, you are doing amazing work here, and it takes active citizens like you to make a difference. So I know that you're giving a lot of the credit here to to Michael Bagram. But honestly, I think it's terrific that there are people in society who are doing the hard, heavy lifting and changing public opinion and making things like this happen. You deserve a lot of credit for that. Congrats.
There's a lot of people that deserve a lot of credit for this, Gareth, and thank you. I really do appreciate that.
Yeah, keep looking after the animals and the people. I mean, a lot of people are very nervous about fireworks too. And frankly, if you live in a house that's right next to some lunatic who's firing off Big Bang fireworks, and let's say you have a thatched roof, you're not exactly thrilled about that either, are you? You know?
I wouldn't be.
Oh, exactly. All right, well, thanks very much.
Thank you, Gareth.
All right, nice to talk to you. Cool. I think she thought I was giving her a hard time for a while there.
Well, you kind of were, but I mean, we should clarify the fact that it's the Big Bang stuff. There is no excuse for it. If you want to have things that look nice, it doesn't have to be the Big Bang stuff.
Sure.
It's disturbing the peace. I think if anyone goes out of their way to disturb the peace, it's like dickheads with those big exhausts. Same thing.
Yeah. No, they're like George Meany. He's got one of those. He's got one of those big exhausts in his car. No, haven't you, George?
No, I don't.
Have you ever?
He's got a soft, soft
yes,
rumbling,
I did actually when I was
soft rumbling V8.
Yeah,
you used to have one, yeah?
Yeah, no, I still got a V8, and that's just because it's the last of the V8s. And you know, my wife drives it, and she does like 6 km a day to take the kids to school. But no, I'm all for silence. That's why I'm all for electric cars and the peace.
I like that.
You know, next they're going to have to make quiet war bombs.
Well, George Meany is his actual job is that he's the CEO of Auto Trader. He comes in here to spend some time with us every Friday, but that's his real day to day job. We're in the beginning of the year. This must be the slowest time for new car sales, or is it actually not?
January is actually the busiest time for car sales.
See, this is amazing. I would have never said that. Explain to me why.
January and October. I think people go on holiday. They start to rethink their lives. They start to rethink buying stuff, which includes cars. A lot of people buy cars because they think it gets cheaper in January, because secondhand cars, by definition, or should I say, by assumption, should get cheaper in January, but sometimes they don't. So I think it's just a new lease on.
And a lot of people also trade in their wives in January. It's the highest divorce month.
I did not know that.
Yes. So they trade in their car, they trade in their wife.
I wonder if October is also a high divorce month, because January is a high car month. October is a very high car month. Those are the two biggest months of the year.
Why October?
I think it's, again, it's that kind of end of the year's looming. I want to change the car. So you probably get a contingent of people that are end of year people and a contingent of people that are beginning of year
people.
That's
amazing. So you have interesting facts besides the stories that you bring us every week that I can tap into because you're the CEO of Auto Trader and you know this stuff. It's amazing. All right, so let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of cars, lifestyle, motoring, blah, blah, blah. What do you got for us today?
Interesting story, Gareth. Subaru apologizes to the United States dealer base for an edition of the Subaru called the Forester Ultimate Customized Kit Special.
God, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, but the acronym is a beaut.
The acronym is the Subaru Fucks.
Wow. Excuse me?
Oh, that's are you?
Just one more time, please.
Ben, you're very sharp.
What?
The Forester?
The Subaru Forester Fucks.
That's amazing.
It's a real, real acronym, I promise you.
That's fantastic.
F-U-C-K.
That's it.
Is that what they apologize for, their ugly Subaru cars?
Yeah, it is an ugly car, to be honest. But Subaru's, while they apologize to the U.S. dealers, this car isn't manufactured by Subaru. It's actually customized by an independent distributor.
Yeah, but they named it.
Well,
and the name is the problem.
I suppose they supported the name. So they've apologized. I don't think the Subaru Fucks is going to come to South Africa.
Oh, you already have the ad, Gareth.
That's right. Here's the ad that you will hear on radio stations all across South Africa.
Fuck you!
I wonder how long this car is going to last, but there were some people that were up in arms by the name of the car.
Okay.
And then hydrogen cars. There are two cars that are hydrogen powered. One of which is the Toyota in the United States, and then the Honda Clarity. And this hydrogen car, Toyota's obviously focusing on, but The proliferation of electric-powered vehicles illustrates that the dynamic shift from combustion engine cars to electric has really taken on, and hydrogen fuel cells haven't. Now, I don't know if I believe in hydrogen fuel cells because you still have a lot of moving parts in that car.
It's not like God, though. It works.
Yeah. No, it works.
No matter whether you believe in it or not, because it does work. And hydrogen is plentiful, George.
Yeah, hydrogen might be.
You get it from water. Imagine if you could have in one part of the car an electrolytic cell that generates hydrogen from passing electricity through water, right? And you could take that hydrogen straight over to the combustion engine part and use that as the explosive gas in the engine.
I don't disagree, but you've still got this mechanical machine that I think is flawed compared to an electric car who has very few moving parts. So I mean, it hasn't caught on in the world. And then what about that? I mean, the hydrogen fuel must swish around in its tanks. I mean, how does it sit?
Hydrogen is probably a compressed gas.
Imagine,
and that is dangerous. I mean, if you have even a small amount of hydrogen, very explosive.
Mm.
If you fill a balloon with hydrogen and you light that, it's not like the helium balloons that the kids play
Isn't
with.
There's something called the Hindenburg.
The Hindenburg, exactly. Big kaboom, lots of dead bodies, big fire.
Yeah, big so I don't know. In terms of the banning of fireworks, I'm not sure that the hydrogen fuel cell car is going to come to South Africa.
Sounds cool, though.
It does sound cool. And it's only we only need one accident to make the news.
Hydrogen fucks.
the new hydrogen fucks. By the way, someone just messaged me to say that the Cambridge University netball team also didn't think to abbreviate their
name.
Wow.
Cambridge University netball team. hydrogen fuel cell cars aren't catching on. Toyota's still focused on it, seems to be. Let's see if they can make it happen. And then Tesla's teaching cars to talk, like Alexa and Google.
Yeah, I always knew Knight Rider was ahead of his time.
Tell me.
I love Knight Rider.
What do you mean talk, like Siri?
As in talk to the occupants of the car, like Siri and like Alexa, and talk to people outside the car. So there's a video going around. I'll send you the link, Gareth. There's a video going around of a demo model of the Tesla Model 3 or a demo version of the Tesla Model 3 saying to a pedestrian waiting for the car to pick them up, well, don't just stand there, hop in.
I like that. It's got to be a bit rude. See, if it has Michael Caine's accent that we were talking about earlier. Oi, you get a fucking car.
Or if you're at a pedestrian crossing, people are looking, it's like, you'll never afford me, keep walking.
Yeah. And inside the car, if you're getting a bit sleepy and you're driving badly, oi, you cunt, wake up properly. You know, can you imagine?
It's got a very polished English accent when you go and look at the...
More like Prince Charles then.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't drive over the shrubbery. Try not to damage the vegetation. Try not to put out so many noxious gases.
Oh,
I'm rather a raconteur. How about you?
Oh, car talking to you like that.
Have you also got a troublesome son who married a princess? I mean, married an actress. Tell me about yourself. What is it you do?
I make a bad acronym.
Listen, have you got that GPS stuff? The navigation. You can download different voices.
I've seen and heard this, but I haven't ever done it.
No, now you're
right. TomTom, wasn't there a particular brand that started that? You get like
Homer
Simpson.
Was it TomTom?
Yeah, I think it was TomTom.
I remember at a point my dad actually bought a Top Gear edition of a TomTom Navigator. So for a while we were listening to Jeremy Clarkson's voice.
Right.
Yeah. Navigating us around town.
I got in an Uber a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
In the last year, I got into an Uber, and this guy had the navigation in a Indian accent.
Oh wow!
Oh,
so I'm sure there's lots of that going around.
Okay,
whatever floats their boat.
Apparently, Waze have got voice packs. They've got celebrity voice packs for Waze, which I use Waze often. So maybe I'll download some of those. Yeah, that could be quite fun. Who would you want to give you?
I don't like that woman's voice in Waze. She's just far too clinical. It sounds like wherever I'm going is not a place I want to go to.
Huh.
She's like nice in a PR sense.
Yeah, they've got... Okay, so here we go. They've got
great.
This is great. They've got the Grand Tours, Jeremy Clarkson, James May, and Richard Hammond. They've got C-3PO.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I'll go Morgan with Freeman. Turn left at the next opportunity.
But can is this like a separate download pack, or is this in the app itself?
I don't know.
It's got to be in the app itself, right?
Let me see. Maybe if you're looking for a specific celebrity voice pack and ways, blah, blah, blah. Apparently, there are some that you can download for free and some of them that you have to pay for. So I'm going to try. Apparently, you can get T-Pain. Who the hell would want that?
Why would you?
Okay. Oh, you know who I would want? Yoda.
Yoda. Oh, but the grammar would drive you crazy. You can get Jay Leno. You can get Arnold Schwarzenegger. Colonel Sanders? Who even knows what Colonel Sanders sounded like?
With a crackling of chicken in the background.
Elvis Presley? It's interesting.
That could be fun.
All right. Very good. Okay. There we go. That's just something on the side in case you're looking to make your journey a little more interesting.
Did you nearly say your dreams come true?
Your dreams come true. Make your dreams come true. Yeah, sure. All right, good.
And then there's a new electric vehicle on the horizon. It's called the Light Year One, excuse the pun. It is roughly 6 months. It'll be launched 2020, and it's a real car. It reduces drag coefficient, but the unique thing about this electric car is that the entire roof is a solar panel.
Oh, that's smart. That's excellent. Must be quite heavy, though.
Yeah. The trouble with this car, though, is when you leave it parked in the sun the entire day, which I try not to do because it stuffs up your car, you only get about 31 to 43 extra miles per day.
It's got to find a way of making a smaller surface area of these solar panels much more
efficient.
Current producing.
Yes, yes.
Charge producing.
So while the Lightyear one is a novel idea, I don't think it's going to beat Tesla. Did you see Tesla's share price?
You're basically saying it's bullshit.
No, it's not bullshit. I just think it's not efficient enough.
But yeah, I mean, Tesla's share price is going up. Well,
yeah.
Until Elon Musk does something. Smokes a joint somewhere, calls someone a pedophile. That's the thing.
And then very lastly, a kid launches his dad's Ford Mustang Shelby into the front of the garage wall.
Yeah, well, his fault having a kid. I mean, that's what they're going to do with the sports cars, unfortunately.
That's terrible.
So that video has gone a little bit viral.
Oh, that's horrible. George, what would you do with your child? That's
good. Very good question. What's
the appropriate thing to do?
What would you say to your kid after they've done that?
Yeah, I don't
know. You
can't
beat them to a pulp. You're not allowed to do that anymore.
Yeah, like, do you send this North Korea straight away?
Unfortunately.
Or delayed.
Off to the gulags of North Korea for you. Or do you make the child fix it painstakingly over years?
Yeah, I think...
Sounds about right.
I think some kind of payback has to happen.
There's something, right?
Something has to happen.
That's
The child has to, I think, know that she shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, and suffer a little bit.
Yeah, go and stand the front of the car.
As you said earlier, you'd like to have Yoda as your navigation voice. You know, Yoda would have some voice to dispense here, you know.
Pain leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
That's what children need to learn.
You do that way
Master
too well.
Master Yoda. Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody. That's been fun. What a happy Friday. Ben, always nice to see you. Sia, great to see you. And Mbulelo, Mfundo, and George and I say goodbye. Cheers. We will see you on Monday at 6 a.m., bright and early. Have an excellent weekend. Yeah, George, anything fun this weekend? What kind of transportation will you be using? Flying, trains, boats, planes? What are we doing?
I'm going to go fly my airplanes tomorrow morning.
Excellent. God, what a fun thing to do. Are you good now? Are you like really, really good? Because the last time we spoke, you were a little bit worried about a certain takeoff or landing. And
well, yeah, no, I think
challenges.
I think I'm okay.
You think you're okay?
Yeah, I can put the wheels on the ground.
Taking passengers?
Yeah, tomorrow morning I will be. Yeah.
Are they nervous?
it depends when we do the takeoff roll.
Yeah, listen, I'm nervous even if I know the pilot knows what they're doing.
Mm.
Those little planes, you've got to really be attentive.
Well, it's real flying, right?
Sure.
You know, there's some pilots at our airfield who are Boeing pilots, jet pilots.
Yeah.
And they come and store their light aircraft there because the Boeings, you don't really fly like you fly a little airplane.
Machines
do it for you. So they love flying the little airplanes because it's real piloting.
Awesome. I'm a little bit jealous. All right. Have a good weekend. CliffCentral.com.